Okay, if you wouldn't mind opening your Bibles to Psalm chapter 55, verse 19. Psalm chapter 55, verse 19. Thank you all for coming this evening. I know Pastor Angel will be excited to see all the people who are faithful coming out to the service tonight. Psalm chapter 55 and verse 19. When you get there, just yell amen.
Amen.
Wow, some fast Bible people. Finders. Anyway, Psalm 19. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for a word that just cleanses, Lord. I thank you for a word that purifies. Thank you for a word that helps to change, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity you've given me to preach tonight. Thank you for our preacher. I pray to be with him and his family. Give him a great time of I'm sure, much needed fellowship with their family over there in France. Get him home safely. Thank you for these faithful folks bringing them here tonight, Father. I pray you bless everything that's done in this service tonight will be done to your honor and glory. We love you and thank you. All this we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name. Amen. Thank you, Miss Caps. Amen. Psalm chapter 55, verse 19. I'm going to read it one more time. Again, it says, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. If I had to give a title to this message tonight, it would be called simply, The Beauty of Change. The Beauty of Change. If you look at the verse in context, specifically that word change, that last sentence says, because they have no changes, therefore, they fear not God. That's referring to a person's reprobate or a lost person. They have continuously have rejected the word of God, have consistently not heeded to the word of salvation, and have never made that change. And therefore, they never make the change, and they never get saved. And tonight, I'm going to focus on the word change. However, I'm going to focus it on a different light. We're going to head to a different direction with this verse, but it's a good springboarding verse. And if you don't mind, I'm going to have a word of prayer again. And let's pray. Father, I love you and thank you. I pray you bless this message. I pray you use it to your glory, Father. I pray you give me wisdom as I need, Father. I pray that you would speak to hearts as only you can do, Holy Spirit. We love you and thank you again. All this we ask in your precious and holy name. Amen. Well, in the Christian life, I believe there's a couple of changes that take place in the Christian life. The first change is that of a saved person, a person who gets saved. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17, I love this verse. Actually, when I came here on my ordination, I actually preached from this verse. I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And a lot of you might know it word for word, might know it by heart. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, this thing of salvation is a one-time change. That word, new creature, is referring to a time that there must have been old creature before. And I'm sure everyone, if you're born again in this room, if you are saved, there was a time when you were an old creature. There was a time in your life when you were not saved, when you were that old creature, the old creature of the world. But there was a day in your life when you realized you're a sinner. We understood you deserved to go to hell because of your sins, and you realized Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, and you asked Him in your heart to save you, and you got saved. And there was a time, it was a one-time change, it was an instant change, when you bowed your head, you asked Him in your heart, and He saved your soul. He saved your soul. One of the best examples I can think of to illustrate that point is in the book of Acts. And we're going to be using our Bibles a lot tonight. So Acts chapter 9, if you will turn me, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. One of the best examples of finding illustration of that instant change. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. When you got saved, this change was instant and happened right away. One-time change. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. And it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. We all know the story in verse 1 and 2. You see this guy named Saul. Of course, we all know about Saul. Man, he was responsible for writing. God used him as a tool to write more than half of the New Testament. And he was used mightily. But in the beginning, he went nothing more than destroy the Jews, God's people. And then something happened on that road to Damascus. Something happened. All of a sudden, he heard the voice from heaven. He saw the light. It blinded him. And within seconds after the conversion happened in his heart, he started referring to Jesus Christ as Lord. And he also said, hey, Lord, what do you want me to do? He knew right away he was changed. He was a new creature. It was an instant change. It was a one-time change. I'm here to tell you, folks, if you know, you need to know you're going to heaven, it must have been a one-time event where you asked Jesus Christ in your heart to get saved. And that is our first change, the change of salvation, the change of salvation. But there's also a second change. The second change, I believe, a person goes through, a saved person. Unlike the first change of salvation, where salvation is an instant, one-time event, this change is a continual process. It's a change that happens after you get saved and up until you die, the rest of your lives. If you were to look at it as a big picture, from the beginning of your saved life when you were a baby Christian up until your death, when you go to heaven, that change would be a one-time thing. That process would be the time you grew from a baby Christian up until the time you died. But if you looked under a microscope, what really happens in the Christian life, it's not really one big change, but during your Christian life, there's a whole bunch of little changes where you grow as a Christian, little changes that you make as you grow as a Christian to help you get from that baby Christian up into a mature Christian. It's a process of changes. It's a process of changes. And that's what I'm going to focus on tonight. Those changes that take place when you are a saved person, when you are a Christian. There are different types of changes that a saved person goes through during his life. The first type of change I titled is a devotional change. Devotional changes are daily changes. These are the changes that happen every single day of your saved life. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. The first type of changes that happen as a Christian is devotional changes or daily changes. It says, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23, is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now listen, his mercies are new every single morning. Have you ever heard the phrase, you can't live off yesterday's blessings? You can't live off yesterday's blessings. It would be great as a Christian. I mean, it would be awesome as a Christian if you can do your devotion one time like you would do during salvation. You know, you pray the prayer, you ask him in your heart, you believe it, and you get saved, the one-time event. And it'd be wonderful if you just read the Bible through one time or just pray like a prayer as a Christian one time, and all of a sudden you are a mature Christian forever. You have a big S embroidered on your chest, and you can super Christian, one of those things. Well, that'd be wonderful. That'd be absolutely excellent. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way because we have something called a sin nature. And every single day, really, or you really have to have a daily walk with God. You have to have those devotional changes. The Christian life is like a race. It's more of like a marathon more specific. And you need to have a walk with God to be moving forward in the race. In Ephesians chapter 12 and verse 1, you don't have to turn there. It says in Ephesians 12:1, wherefore seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If you ever watched a marathon, if you've been watching the Olympics, you've seen the races going on, if you watched the marathon, all really a marathon is really 1 foot in front of the other, 1 foot in front of the other. And the object of the goal of this marathon is to get to the finish line. Well, if a person had stopped running, they'll never make it to the finish line. They'll never win that race. And that's what the Christian life is. That's what that devotional change is. It's a daily, day after day, daily spending some time in the Word, daily praying. Listen, gang, we're all sinners. We're all capable of, like Brother Vineyard said one time, give any person 30 days away from the Bible, and he's capable of doing anything. And that's so true. Why? Because of our sinful flesh. And listen, the Christian life, you need those daily changes. You need those devotional changes. We all need that time when we have just a daily time with the Lord. Because, frankly, if we don't have those changes, we're not going to grow much as a Christian. That's just the way it is. Because of our sinful flesh, because of this world around us, we need to have a time where we have those daily devotional changes. And by the way, those people who have it on the inside, usually you can see it eventually on the outside. You usually see it eventually on the outside, those changes. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. Simple illustration for you. I love illustrations. This is our diseased pepper plant. But I couldn't find anything else to bring, so I use our pepper plant. Okay. This pepper plant, not much pepper there. This pepper plant, it started off at one time with a little seed. Now, I guarantee you, not anybody, if I said, hey, let's go to my house tonight and sit down and watch the pepper plant grow, I probably wouldn't have anybody joining me. Why? Because it doesn't happen overnight. I tell you what, we didn't plant that thing and the whole Munkowski family sit around the pot and say, okay, grow, come on, grow, please grow, 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 grow. Now, of course, if you speak lovingly to a plant, it grows and all that good stuff. I usually yell at the plant, that's why you see the way it is, praise the Lord. But listen, this plant did not grow to where it's at overnight, did it? It didn't happen overnight. It grew over time and time and time again, about a few months, and it finally got to the place that it is, the weird-looking plant that it is. Horrible illustration. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, you start off with a seed and it goes to a plant. It does not happen overnight. And I think what happens to a lot of Christians, and this is why a lot of Christians stop doing their devotions. They start doing devotions, they start having a prayer time and a time where they spend time in the Word, and nothing happens right away. They start praying, they start reading the Bible, and a week goes by, and a month goes by, and says, what happened, God? I'm reading the Bible, I'm praying, how come I'm not getting victory over the sins yet? How come I'm not changing yet? And then you start praying, and more frustration sets in, like, oh my goodness, come on, I'm reading the Bible, I'm praying, how come nothing's happening? If we thought the same way about our plants, there'd be no farmers in America. They'd be so frustrated they wouldn't plant crops. It takes time. You have to be patient. And that's the same way with those daily changes, those devotional changes. Hey, gang, it takes time. It takes time. You have to just go day after day faithful, reading your Bible and praying. And when nothing happens, you just be faithful and faithful and faithful. Hey, listen, Now think about it. Day after day, you don't see many changes. But if you were able to see a year from now what happened, if you were being faithful and doing devotions, you'd most likely see a change, wouldn't you? You'd most likely see a change. And unfortunately, we don't get to see that. So you've got to have faith. Hey, I'm reading my Bible. I'm having a daily devotional change. I'm making those changes as a Christian person. And one day, I'm going to be not like this one, but I'm going to be a wonderful plant. So you need those daily devotional changes. You need those daily devotional changes. Now, there are going to be days, of course, as Christians, when you don't get anything from your Bible. That's going to happen because we're human. And maybe you're going to be distracted. Maybe you're going to wake up, you're tired. I mean, there'll be days when you don't feel like you're getting nothing from your Bible, or you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling. I heard a preacher say it like this. There are going to be times in your devotional life when you get nuggets of truth, when something just speaks to you from the Word of God. You feel like almost like God was sitting there right next to you, and he spoke something to you, and he just got in your heart, and he just all day long you carried it with you. There's also going to be days when it's just your duty to do it, meaning you know you have to pray and read the Bible because you know one day that's the only way you're going to grow as a Christian. And so you just do it, you read the Bible, and you pray because maybe you didn't get something that day from the Word of God. Maybe you didn't pray. But listen, understand this, children of God, you are changing. You are, and when you make changes, you are growing. When you make changes, you are growing. You might not be able to see it right away, but you are growing. You are growing. So the first thing is those devotional changes. By the way, it should bother you when you miss having your daily devotions. It should bother you. I remember, I'm going to be honest with you, there was not too long ago, I think we were doing something with the teenagers, and I usually do my devotions in the morning. That's when I do them. And I, for whatever reason, something happened, I missed them, and I said, I'll do them later, and I never did them later. And a day came, and a day went, and a day was over, and I never had the opportunity to spend time on devotions. We've all been there. If you're honest, we all say, yeah, I've been there. And I was there, and I'll be honest with you, the next day, it might sound kind of weird, but I was excited, because the next day I woke up, I could not wait to get to my Bible. And I was like, and it bothered me all that night when I went to bed, I knew, you know, I didn't do my devotions today, and it bothered me. No one had to tell me, no one had to remind me, because I knew I didn't do them. And the next day I woke up, I could not wait to get to my Bible. I could not wait to spend time in prayer. Now, that didn't just happen overnight. As baby Christians, we start as a Christian, we grow in the beginning. As a baby Christian, you might not have that desire, but you're going to eventually get that taste. You're going to eventually develop that appetite for more and hunger of the Word. The more you stay faithful, gang, reading this book, the more you stay faithful in praying, the more you stay faithful in getting close to God, you're going to get closer to Him. You're going to make those changes. But you have to decide to make that change, those daily devotional changes, another illustration to give you. I remember we were on vacation, and a lot of times, especially around here, but out in Pennsylvania, they had a lot of railroad tracks. They convert into jogging paths. You might have seen them. They rip up the railroad tracks, and they lay down gravel, and then people can ride their bikes and run and do whatever they do on those jogging paths. Well, picture you're on a path, and you're jogging. That's the beginning of your Christian life, and just jogging. You go at your own pace. You take your time. Now picture, if you're a teenager, you have your buddy next to you, and he loves to race, and you don't want him to win. Now how excited are you to be running down that path? Now it's like, you got to win. You're going to give everything you got. If someone gets in the way, you're going to push them out of the way, and you're going to get to that finish line. Why? Because you want to win. As a Christian, in the beginning of your devotional life, if you start in the beginning, Christian, it might not seem like you're getting much from the Bible. It might not seem like your prayer life's going a lot. But you stay faithful reading this book, this Bible. You stay faithful in praying. I promise you, you will develop a taste for it. I promise you, you'll want to come to the Lord in prayer, and I promise you, you will grow. But you just got to have faith, and you got to be patient. You got to be patient. So having those daily devotional changes. Number two, making determined changes. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Number one, having those daily devotional changes. Number two, having those determined changes, making those determined changes. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." And the end says, "So run that ye may obtain." Listen again, there's going to be times in your Christian life where things get hard. You're going to go through trials, where it seems like you're going through more trials than normal. Things seems like things are getting harder to get through. It seems like you're having more and more troubles than usual. I like to think of that in your Christian life as being in a river. You ever been in a river, in a lazy river where there's not much current? Well, it's easy to walk upstream. Now picture being in the same river after a big flood came through the town and the river went up 2 feet. The current usually goes a lot harder and a lot faster. And you're trying to walk upstream, and it's a lot harder. And if it's, and the river's so high, you have to swim. Imagine swimming upstream in the river. If you've ever done it before, it gets tiring real fast. Well, it seems like sometimes in the Christian life, it feels like things are going at you harder. Things are going more frustration, more problems. And it feels like you're going upstream and facing a harder current. That's when you have to make a determined change. That's when you have to determine your heart to stay faithful, stay in your place. That's when times are going to be so easy to quit. Those are the times when you feel like it's so easy to quit and say, oh, what's the use? I might as well give up. But you have to be determined and just keep swimming, keep swimming, keep swimming. Just stay in your place. And here's the thing, when you stop swimming, you usually go backwards in that river, or you start to sink. And look what happened to Peter when he took his eyes off of Jesus. He started to sink. Listen, gang, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to go through trials. There's times in your life you're going to have troubles. We all go through them. Things are harder, more of an uphill climb, a climb to take. It's those times you have to have a determined change. Keep your eyes on Jesus and stay. Listen, that's when also, at the same time, it goes hand in hand with doing devotions. That's when you're going to say, what's the use of doing my devotions? That's when you have to stay faithful and doing your devotions. I know this is nothing earth-shattering, shaking from the chandelier of the ceiling. But listen, gang, if you stay faithful in doing your devotions, you stay faithful in making those daily changes, when the rough times come, you make those determined changes to stay in your place. And by the way, when a trial comes, which they will come, the trials also have an end. And usually those trials come, you have to stay in your place. It seems like you have to try harder to stay in your place. It seems like you're not even going forward. But when the trial ends, you've been strengthened. And usually you go farther for the Lord after the trial's over. Because what happens when that current dies down? If you're swimming at the same hard pace, you're going to go a lot farther up the river. You're going to go a lot farther up the river. And listen, gang, there's going to be a time when you need to make those changes, those determined changes. And my final point here is the disappearing changes. The disappearing changes. First is the daily changes. Second are the determined changes. And finally, the disappearing changes. Now, I use that word disappearing very loosely because it might seem like disappearing changes are times in your life when you're just doing what you know to do and a trial seems to be coming and things are just difficult and it feels like nothing's going right. And I'm referring to something in a church ministry or something you're doing in your life. Hey, parent, you have children you're raising. Seems like things are not going the right way. You're doing everything you know to do, but things aren't going the right way. Hey, you're a Sunday school teacher, and you've been week after week faithfully preparing messages. Week after week, just going out and visiting the people in your Sunday school class, but it seems like your class isn't growing. It seems like the kids, the people you have in your Sunday school class, whether it's young people or adults, just nothing is happening in your class. And it seems like the things you're doing right, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're coming to church, you're faithful in doing everything you know how to do, you're making some good changes for God, you're making those devotional changes, you're making those determined changes, you're doing what you know how to do as a Christian, but it seems like everything you're doing for God is just falling apart, it's just disappearing. It's like you're seeing no fruit from your labor. You're seeing no fruit from your labor. At that point, I believe you simply just need to be patient. Simply need to be patient. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Again, we just need to wait for God. Sometimes when things are going not the way we want, sometimes when we're having an uphill battle, and sometimes when it seems like we're working hard and the changes we're doing for God, if things we're doing for the Lord aren't going in the right direction, it's at that point you seem to be patient and wait on the Lord. You need to be patient and wait on the Lord. You can be doing the best you can do as a Christian, doing the best you can do, and I believe you'll see the fruit of your labor. It might not even be in this lifetime. Maybe, hey, you tried very hard with your Sunday school class. You're on a bus route, or you're working in your career, and you're doing things, and things aren't going the right way. And especially in that of a ministry, when you see people you're working with, and the changes aren't coming, they're not making, it seems like decisions aren't being made. Maybe when you get to heaven, you'll see someone who you never thought got saved will come up to you in heaven and say, hey man, I appreciate when you were taught the Sunday school class because I got saved later on in life down the road and they meet you in heaven. Hey listen, we just need to stay faithful. Even when we don't see fruit from our labor. And that's one of the hardest things to do as a Christian at times. We don't see fruit from our labor. We don't see the results of day after day after day of doing the right thing. And it seems like almost at times you just want to give up. What's the use? you stay faithful, I promise you, you'll see fruit from your labor. If you ever took a trip on a plane, usually, especially over water, like maybe you're 2 or 3 hours over an ocean, and you're high enough up that you can just barely see the blue, if you look down, it almost seems like you're not moving. Because you're not seeing, you're so far high up, you can't see the specific details of the ocean below. And it seems like you're just going, you're staying still. But in reality, you're moving 200 plus miles an hour in that plane. You just don't realize it. And I'm listening, gang, if you just stay faithful, we just stay faithful and do what we need to do. Stay faithful, making those changes as Christians. Stay faithful in our devotions. This is simple fundamentals. Even if you don't see the changes right now, they're going to come later on. They're going to come later on. And finally, if you don't get anything else from this message, if nothing else comes, if you go home and remember this one point, we as Christians are gonna change. All of us Christians here are gonna change. If you stay faithful in doing what you're gonna do, you're gonna move forward for the Lord, even if it seems at times you're not gonna move forward. But at the same time, and I tell this the teenagers all the time in teen church, a lot of teenagers will make decisions, they'll get saved, and then they won't make any decisions anymore. They'll just stay where they are. It doesn't seem like they're growing. And that's the same for adults, by the way. Adults make decisions. Adults get saved and seem like they're not making decisions to go forward. It seems like they're almost going backwards at times. They're not wanting to make decisions. And it's almost like they have a mentality, well, I'm saved. I'm reading my Bible sometimes. I come to church sometimes. I do the best I can sometimes. I'll be fine. And I think they're staying consistent, staying in the same place. But if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. And I always tell them as Christians, what's going to happen a year from now? What's going to happen a year from now if you don't go forward? Chances are you're going to go backwards. Where are you going to be at a year from now? And just like that plant situation, where are you going to be at a year from now? You're not going to know now. Now it looks like everything is fine. Now it looks like everything is okay. But if you're not staying faithful, if you're not doing the changes the best you can, living for God, you'd be surprised. You're going to go backwards. We're going to go backwards. And we got to stay faithful and make those changes. Hey, get in the Bible, Christians. We need to get in this Bible. Stay faithful in this Bible. Even when it seems like there's no use. What's the use? Even when it seems like it's a frustrating thing or you're not getting anything from it, just stay faithful. Just stay faithful in the Word. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates." Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my house. That man just day after day coming to the gates. Day after day coming to the gates. Just being faithful. We're going to make change. We're going to change as Christians. We're going to change as Christians. We need to keep those daily devotional changes. We need to, when times get rough, we need to stay with those determined changes. And don't get discouraged with those disappearing changes. Just stay faithful. The Lord will honor you. The Lord will bless you. But in the end, what it comes down to, what it all boils down to, we're the one that needs to make the changes. No one can make the changes for us. I need to read this Bible. No one can read this Bible for me. You all have the same responsibility. You have to read this Bible. No one's going to read this Bible for you. No one's going to get a walk with God for you. I've got to get a walk with God for Jason. You all got to get a walk with God for you. You stay faithful and do what you need to do. I promise the Lord will bless you. You'll see fruit for your labor. Let's pray. If y'all could bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord. I just pray you bless this message, bless this invitation to follow, Lord. I thank you for your word. Thank you for your word on just trying to stay faithful and making changes for you, Lord. And I pray that you bless this invitation as well. We love you and thank you. If the Lord spoke to your heart about anything during this message, about making changes, about just staying on the path, just staying faithful and day after day after day, making the right changes, doing what's right, even when it seems like nothing's coming from it, I encourage you to come forward and make some decisions. You know what, Bro Jason, I promise I'm going to do my best to make some good changes. And the thing is, a lot of times, if we never come forward, we never make those decisions, it just kind of goes in one ear out the other. Now, I understand it doesn't start at the altar. It doesn't end at the altar. It begins at the altar.